reply from Prasad. That's the way to do it. Just hammered for four. He comes right back and uproots his off stump.
Hey, Sumit. We're going to talk about the recently concluded India-England Test Series. 5-0, sorry, 5-match Test Series for the first time in a long time. That India has just won 4-1. Thanks to, I guess, all-round performances from so many different players, both in the batting and bowling departments.
Yes.
I don't know if there's too many standout performers. With the bat, yes, we had one standout performer in Jaiswal. What did you think of generally the performance of India? Anything surprising?
I think it was one of the good series in a long, long time. I think I have followed almost all the series, but post India tour of Australia, 21 was that when the GABA happened. I think after that, it's the best series I have seen. The only thing is because India won the last fifth test so convincingly and they stamped the authority that people will not say much. But I think by the end of fourth test, it was like quite competitive series from both sides. On even the scoreline, it was 3-1 by the end of fourth test. But all the test matches we had, like it was pendulum. The after every session, sometimes India was dominating, sometimes England was dominating. So it was fantastic test series overall.
Yeah, I think it was a very good test series as well. I don't know if it was really that competitive. I mean, of course, given the series scoreline of 4-1, I kind of likened it to a tennis scoreline where, you know, in the first match that England won, it went to a tiebreaker, and even in the tiebreaker or something like a 7-5 or 7-4. And then India won the next match fairly comfortably, the third match by a record 434 runs. Fourth match also, it was quite tight, but ultimately India won. So that was maybe another tiebreaker kind of match. Yeah. And then the fifth match again, India won by a record. So I think when you see that India has won two matches so comfortably, and then two matches of which one was a little bit tight, one was again fairly comfortable, I don't think it was as competitive as people make it out to be. I think there were a few pendulums, but those are expected in a test match of between two such prestigious teams. I mean, if India and England can't have a competitive test series, then I don't think anybody will have a competitive test series at all in India. I mean, there's no point having other teams even show up. I mean, if anything will make test cricket die, it's the sheer dominance of India at home.
I think the test, fourth test in Ranchi, is the one where when they made sure that we are at 3-1, so overall scoreline looks so convincing that we have won so convincingly. But if you see in Ranchi, even after second inning and even when the fourth inning was running, England had upper hand.
Yes, Ranchi was a good one.
Yeah. So it could have gone, the scoreline could have read 2-2 had they captured the moments. But I think they lost few opportunities, England. And finally, now it will be difficult to tell somebody that it was such a close, like as you have said. But I feel when we won the Ranchi test, I was shit scared when the test was happening. When England had 350 score in the first inning and India was tottering for 180 for 7 something, I was like, this test match is gone. And again, when India, while chasing 192, when India were 120 for 5, even I was quite scared because India was chasing this target quite cautiously. Though he came, Jurel, and he played some positive. He took some singles and doubles, took the pressure off. But it was quite scary moments in those tests.
Yeah. Before the series began, you and I had done a podcast with Jack and Tom where all of us had given some predictions. So I called it out there predictions, meaning not your regular predictions, but specific things. I wanted to just see how those turned out. So some of my predictions were in terms of course, the highest scorer for India, I said, would probably be Rohit, and for England would be Root, so that wasn't anything that was out there. But the out there out there prediction was number one. I expected from India's side Jasprit Bumrah to have a very good series, which I think was the case. In fact, I think his numbers probably don't justify really the dominance and the performance that he had. He had so many chances.
His numbers justify. It's not like his number doesn't justify. I think he has been one of the best bowler, just because he did not throw down so many overs like the other spinners.
Yeah,
I think he got 19. He is the third highest wicket taker. 19.
Yes.
And he has only thrown down around 100 overs in four test matches, where the other spinners who have taken, let's say, 22, 26 wickets, they, like Hartley took 22 wickets and he has bowled 250 overs in the series, where Bumrah has just bowled 100 overs. His strike rate of 32, Bumrah is best among all the bowlers.
So then my prediction was good then.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. And then my other prediction that I think was also very good was Ben Stokes. I said that Ben would have maximum of one really good innings, and then the remaining nine would be and then the remaining nine would kind of be failures or at most in the 30s. He did score a 41 and a 47 or something, I think, but I think more or less I give myself the tick mark.
It was quite a disastrous series as a batsman.
Yeah. I mean, as a bowler as well, as an all-rounder.
He just took out wicket of Rohit Sharma. First ball. Apart from that, nothing else.
And this is the thing that I think irks me a lot about the fans of Ben Stokes. Somehow people will try and create a narrative that Ben Stokes still in this tournament was some kind of bowling genius. He came on and he took the wicket of Rohit Sharma after he had scored a century. But that does not make him a bowler if he's only bowling, I think, five overs he bowled in that match or something like that. And nothing else in the entire series. Yeah. So five overs in the series does not make you an all-rounder at all. Labuschagne bowls that much in test matches. So, come on. He's a pure batsman today. And as a pure batsman, he has had an atrocious series and really not a great last few months. But anyway, that's why I predicted it, and I guess that was
my predictions. I think I got zero predictions which came true. So I said that the scoreline will read 3-2, which is 4-1. I said Jadeja will be the highest wicket taker. But though Jadeja, he bowled well, he had 19 wickets, but Ashwin again, he got 26 overall. And Rohit Sharma as a batter will score the maximum runs from India, but Jaiswal, he such a series he had, 700 runs in 5-match series. And then from England side, I said that Joe Root will get the maximum runs. Again, prediction didn't come true. And for bowlers, it was Jack Leach. He just played two test matches, so can't really see on that. So very, very poor.
That's okay. Don't worry. There'll be more series. I was in Dharamshala. I went for the match in Dharamshala.
Yeah.
I just got back actually yesterday. What's today? Today is Tuesday, the 12th of March. I went to firstly Dharamshala. Just generally to anyone listening, no matter how beautiful you think the ground is going to be, your expectations will be surpassed. It is so stunning. It is so incredible. It is so calming, that ground. The facilities also are pretty good because it's a fairly new ground when it comes to test match grounds all over the world. A
lot of money is spent on that ground.
A lot of money.
Anurag Thakur, he comes. It's his ground, actually. So
it's his. I mean, there's posters of him literally every five steps that you take. So it's his ground. But generally the toilets were really good. The seating was good. The stands look so beautiful. The food was actually really, really good. And of course, very cheap and very accessible. They would come to your seats with hot food. So it's probably one of the better Bhatura Chola that I had ever had. Not from North India, but that was really, really good. And, you know, £1, 100 rupee ice creams, how do you complain? But yeah, it was really good. I was with the Bharat Army for a short while. I actually didn't enjoy it too much with the Bharat Army because this was my first experience with the Bharat Army in India. And I think the style of crowd is quite different. I feel like I enjoyed it more with the Bharat Army when I'm sitting in London. Because I think it's a good mix in London of fans who are both really, really boisterous and happy and jumping and singing, as well as watching the cricket and analyzing and studying it. And in India, with the Bharat Army, I only found largely the former fans that are just there to jump up and shout and have fun and not really watch the game. But rather to pose for photographs. So I didn't really enjoy that much. But I spent a lot of time in other stands as well, just talking a lot about domestic cricket with people who I met over there. I think the fans were brilliant. I think the numbers state that there were about 5,000 England fans at the stadium, which seems...
5,000 England fans?
Which actually seems less. It seems like there were actually more because there were more England fans... Then I think in a match at Oval between India and England, there were England flags everywhere. The city of Dharamshala and McLeodganj was filled with English people everywhere you go. The flight that I took Delhi to Dharamshala, it was a tiny flight. I think there are 75 seats in there. Out of 75 seats, I think 72 were English people. The only three non-English were me, my wife, and my daughter. And my wife and daughter did not come to watch cricket. So I was the only cricket fan in there who was Indian, really, which was very surprising. So, yeah, it was a fantastic experience. And of course, there's so much to do and see and eat in the city after that. So, yeah, lovely. I recommend it to anybody. But anyway, the test match itself, I think one of the great moments that I enjoyed was watching Rohit Sharma and Shubman Gill and Joe Root batting. Their batting was so
What about Jaiswal 3 sixes?
High class.
You didn't see him.
Jaiswal's what?
3 sixes in the over.
Yeah, I saw it. In fact, I was sitting next to a guy who was really blasting Shoaib Bashir. In the stand, we were kind of first row just behind Shoaib Bashir, and when he got hit for 3 sixes, we really enjoyed it. I think it is very unlucky from India's standpoint that Jaiswal got out stumped when he did, because if he didn't, then he probably would have scored another 200 runs and the game would have been over, not in 2.5 days, but in maybe 1.5 days.
Yeah.
Because you know, by the end it became quite slow the way Jadeja and Kuldeep Yadav and etc. were batting. Yeah. If Jaiswal would have made 250, then who knows what would have happened. And that would have made Jaiswal, that would have given him the honour of being the Indian with the most number of runs scored in any test series in the history of cricket, because now he is behind Gavaskar.
800 something.
I think Gavaskar has 2 700 plus scores, and Jaiswal also scored 700 plus. I think this was third or probably close to second. But it's difficult to compare across eras, but you can't say that this would be better than Gavaskar scoring.
But Gavaskar's 800 game in 5 test match series in West Indies, when West Indies used to be a force.
Exactly. Yeah. And England, like it or not, were not a force. They were absolutely.
Actually, that was the series what people say, though I am not from that era, but there is a when people say that was the series when Gavaskar became Gavaskar.
Yeah. Anyway, I was talking about Root. I think it was a privilege watching him bat with all the chaos that was unfolding next to him at the other end. he was still calm and he showed everyone why he's this, the original Joe Root. You know, there was none of the kind of obnoxious shots that he'd been playing at other points during the series.
Yes, I think the biggest takeaway for England from this series is that Joe Root is back. He came as the typical bash ball player, but he's going back as the original, authentic Root, which is
hopefully. I mean, for England, yeah, I'd say
takeaway for England. They can say they got Hartley or Bashir or anything, but I feel it's just the authentic Joe Root which they got back.
Yeah, and well, Hartley and Bashir, I don't think they had good series at all. I was quite annoyed to see one of the famous English cricketers talk about Bashir's 5 wickets as if he'd done something magical. No, it was a pathetic 5 wicket, probably one of the bottom 10-20 percentile in terms of 5 wicket hauls in the history of cricket. He bowled about 50 overs. You better take 5 wickets in 50 overs, and he got smacked for 200 runs. 200 runs. That's not good. His wicket of Jaiswal, I don't think was because of some extra beautiful flight. It was just because Jaiswal thought he's playing level one junior level cricket. So he just got a bit overexcited, Jaiswal. But come on, yeah. I don't rate... I rate his effort, his work rate, of course. I mean, to bowl 50 overs is not easy. And he shows good passion, and he's still young. He's 18 years old.
If you are playing, somebody is going to take wickets. Yeah. If you see any bowler from both sides who have bowled more than 100 overs in this series, all the English bowlers, their average is more than 30. Because though they are taking wickets, but obviously they are bowling 200 overs, obviously they will get wickets. But none of the Indian... the average is more than 30 if they have bowled more than 100 overs. Everybody in India, their average is like 24, 16, 20, 25, around that.
What did you think of Kuldeep Yadav?
He was exceptional. I don't know whether you remember or not. In the 4th test match, I wrote, if India lose this test match or the series, it will be because Rohit is not showing enough faith in Kuldeep Yadav. It was during the... second innings of England in the 4th test match, and as soon as I said it, he took I think 4 wickets, and then we have seen what he did in 5th test match, and then Rohit, he became the go-to bowler. If you recall that message, because I was actually frustrated, he bowled so beautifully during the first innings of Ranchi test, but he didn't got so many overs like Ashwin and Jadeja. And in second innings, again, till 30th over or 35th over, he was not introduced. And I was super frustrated that we should bring Kuldeep Yadav in the attack. And as soon as he came back, I think he took quick 3 or 4 wickets during those innings.
So, in general, for the whole series, what is your takeaway in terms of the biggest positives for India as well as the biggest learnings for India?
I think the biggest positive for India is again the number of debutants who came.
Yes.
And they seem ready for at this level. Like Jurail, if you see Sarfaraz Khan, even if we see that Akshdeep, the guy who came and took 3 wickets, and even Rajat Pandey, they all seem that they belong at this level. So they have gone through hard grinding over the years in Ranji Trophy, and they seem ready. So India's bench strength looks good, especially in batting department.
Yeah, which is it's very heartening to see, because the last 3 or 4 years, the middle order of India has not been terrific. Pujara, Rahane, Kohli have not really had the best of series. Even Shubman Gill has had a few ups and downs. So Shubman Gill himself a couple of years ago was one of the changes that was made to the lineup, and then this time there's been 3 batters who made their debut. Padikkal was the other one besides
Padikkal.
Yeah, and Padikkal has such a kind of a different technique, very languid, very lazy kind of technique. He doesn't have that much of a footwork, and initially you feel that he'll be susceptible to outswinging balls or balls that are turning away from him. But I think his hand-eye coordination is so phenomenal that he's able to pick the length quite early and play his shot. He seems very much in his style of play, not his style of, I guess, his not his footwork, but more of his mentality. He seems very much a traditional Test cricketer, milking the singles here and there. But for me, the standout, of course, as a batter was Sarfaraz Khan.
The way we talk about Sarfaraz Khan, even this guy is a prodigy. And if you see this guy, he has played, I think, 3 seasons of List A career and he averages 81. After, I think, 30 matches, he has made already 2,000 runs, something around 2,000 runs. He has scored 8 centuries, 11 50s. And his average in List A career is 81.
Yeah, I mean he's a prospect for sure. There's no question about it. Who knows if he remains in the team right now? I think he probably is the first name to be dropped, and probably rightfully so, because of course Virat Kohli will come back and take his spot.
Rahul will come back. Virat Kohli will come back, and then we have Sarfaraz in the picture. But I think Devdutt Patigal, he will be above Rajat Patidar. I feel when the squad of 16-17 will be declared for the next Test matches, I think Devdutt Patigal will be there.
I don't think Patidar will play Test cricket for India again.
I think the next assignment is Australia, right? 5 Test match series.
Is it 5? I know it's Australia. I don't know if it's 5, but okay.
With Australia, it's 5, I think. It's 5 Test matches versus Australia. So I think India will announce something, 17, 18 squad members. Patigal will be there. Sarfaraz will be there. Kohli and assuming everyone is fit, Kohli and Rahul all will be there. But I think Patigal will make a cut instead of Rajat Patidar.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. Patidar won't play Test cricket for India again. We have KL Rahul and Virat Kohli coming back. And who knows if Rishabh Pant comes back into the Test fold in the next 12 months or so. Then that probably is the end of Patidar. Yeah. I was going to bring up Sarfaraz Khan. I've been following him very, very closely, generally in the Mumbai circuits, and I don't think I've seen someone who is able to play so many shots to spinners and get so be able to dominate the bowling in a way that does not seem dominating on one hand, because he uses the crease so beautifully, as if he's an expert of playing spin bowling. And what I'm talking about is the way he pushes under the back foot so quickly, which not a lot of batters do. The typical movement that a batter will make when the ball is pitched at roughly a good length is put the bat forward, put your foot forward, put your head forward, and just defend the ball. Front foot defense. Instead, Sarfaraz pushes back and he does a little touch, little flick. Just a dab. And the good thing is he knows exactly where that square leg fielder is, whether he's behind square or in front of square. And he places it with such perfect timing and with very soft hands that he gets a lot of singles over there. So I think that's his magic touch that allows him to have strike rates in the 80s, 90s. So I think he's a terrific find for India. So that, if I were to come back to my question about what has been one of the big positives for India, I think it's I agree with you. It's all the debutants, particularly I'd say Sarfaraz Khan.
And what do you think regarding Sarfaraz? Because when I see him play, I think he will be pretty good on the Indian pitches when the ball is doing different tricks and he can attack at the same time, he can defend at the same time, and he's quite confident on that. But when we go to, like, let's say South Africa or Australia, New Zealand, do you think he can play in the same way? Is he good enough on the pacey pitches against the pacers?
Yeah, so I think a lot of it remains to be seen. I remember in a South Africa A series, I think he made a 60-odd very recently. Firstly, in India, I don't think he's decent or good. I think he's phenomenal.
Yeah,
in
he's pretty screen. Good for the Indian entire Indian subcontinent.
No, if he's pretty good, then I don't know who's phenomenal. I think he's. I actually think he's world class on Indian pitches. He's fantastic. We saw him play really well, both to Anderson and to Mark Wood. He's a player who's played a lot of cricket. So I don't know. I don't think he'll really struggle with the pace. I think there's just flaws that we as fans try and pick in a player to bring them down a notch or to limit our own expectations. And I think that's fine as fans to do so. But I feel like he's got it in him to play on those pitches as well. But of course, we haven't seen him do so. So unless he goes and plays some county cricket, this summer, we won't know until the Australia series.
He is still unsold in IPL, right? Or somebody has bought him.
So my thinking is that these kind of pure test players, which Sarfaraz Khan should be, he's not an all format player. He does not perform in T20s even for Mumbai, and recently he's not even been playing for Mumbai in T20s. He should be a test specialist, and just like Pujara used to go to play county cricket, and Murali Vijay used to go there. I think Vihari as well had gone for a couple of games. I think he should be going to play county cricket, regardless of whether he's in an IPL team or not. I don't think he should be even picked in the IPL as a backup. If a team wants to play,
he was unsold in the auction. That I remember very clearly. But there were some rumors that some team is going to pick him up as a backup or something. That I'm not sure whether he has been picked or not. But ideally, he should go this summer. He should because I think he. The next few assignments for India are away test matches, and he should definitely go and play one season of county.
Yeah, 100% agree. I mean, he's kind of free, right? He's not playing the T20 World Cup in the summer.
No, I don't think so. He will make the cut.
I mean, there's no chance. I mean, there's no reason to even think that he's in the consideration, right? So he's not playing. So he's free. He should go there. His brother has more of a chance of playing T20 World Cup than he does, I think.
We are already, 30 minutes into our podcast, or more than 30 minutes, and we haven't touched the base of baseball. So the 5-match series is finished. So what do you think? What happened? Enough talk about India. Enough talk about Indian middle order batsmen. What about baseball now?
I did not want to talk about England and baseball because I don't know what I'm going to say.
I will tell you one thing. In the top 5-6 batters, how many Indian batters had less than 50 strike rate, and how many English batsmen had less than 50 strike rate? It's zero. Within none of Indian batsmen had a strike rate of less than 50, but England had two people, Joe Root for the entire series. And Ben Foulkes, both of them, they had the strike rate of less than 50.
Okay. And the others were all over 50. So you're saying these two were the only ones who were less than 50?
Yeah. And both are from the baseball team, not from the Indian team.
Yeah. I mean, Joe Root, of course, because of the last innings that he played this weekend. But, I mean, I don't think it's as easy to compare because English batters obviously face a way higher level of bowling than the Indian batsmen.
I felt they got confused midway what to do, whether to follow baseball or not to follow what they should do. Do you think the same thing happened to them? After like two failures of Joe Root, he shifted his gears.
Even in that last test, though
he didn't score runs, but he was quite positive in the first test. But after that, he was like blocking each and every ball. Yeah. And India, you can't do it. You will have one ball which has the name written on that, that you are going to be out on this ball. So you can't survive. You just can't play 60, 100 balls in Indian subcontinent. Like,
someone has to bat more than 5 or 10 balls in an innings to be able to be judged whether that is baseball or not. Ben Stokes doesn't count if he's not even batting 10 balls. The others, I feel like they just continue to smack. We saw in the last test match as well how England collapsed in that first innings just by trying to really hit every ball as hard as they can, and Ollie Pope and Ben Duckett particularly.
Surprisingly, they got really good starts as compared to India. Every time I really saw...
Crawley had a good series, right?
So Crawley and even Ben Duckett, both of them. I think they both are the highest run getters for England, both of them. And every time I'm seeing 54-0, 54-0, I think out of 10 innings, they had 6 or 7 innings where the partnership was more than 50, opening partnership, which was not the case with India, but it was the case with England. They got good opening platform, but most of them, they didn't capitalize on that.
Yeah.
Crawley, he was quite, though he didn't get any big 100, I think he didn't get any 100 at all, but he was quite consistent. He was making a lot of 50s or 30s, 40s. He was there every time.
Yeah, see, baseball is more about just hitting the ball. Baseball is about, as far as I understand it, it's about a mentality, a way of playing cricket. And that includes backing your players, backing your bowlers, backing your field placements, trying different things out in your field placements that may seem not as per the rule book. And part of it is, of course, trying out different shots, and it's okay if you fail. So, I mean, in that regard, I guess we've seen Stokes with a field that's a bit unorthodox. We've seen him back his bowlers. You know, Bashir kept on bowling despite being hit. I don't know if that's because he didn't have any other option, but at least Stokes backed them. So I think to give credit somewhere to baseball, at least that, if that is the philosophy of baseball, then they seem to continue with that fairly well. But of course, none of it matters more than the outcome, and the outcome was negative. So
yeah,
it's a failure.
In one thing, because when we were discussing what were the good outcomes for India and the learnings, I think one area of concern I still see with India is the pace department. Mohammad Shami is injured. 5 test match series. We need to give rest to Bumrah in, let's say, one of the tests, and or to Siraj. Then people like Mukesh Kumar playing couple of tests, and then Akashdeep playing one test match, though he picked up 3 wickets. I think Akashdeep, it seemed to me he was a bit better than Mukesh Kumar.
Oh, yes.
But where is the backup for all these pacers? If, let's say, I have really seen that all 3 are fit in test match series. Like, we have Mohammad Shami and Siraj and Bumrah. You will have like one pacer who is not fit for that particular series. You need to give rest. I think we need to have 5 bowlers of same Bumrah, Shami caliber. I think we are missing on that part.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you don't start out as a Bumrah, Shami caliber. You become that. We spoke about this
in the last series as well.
That was the last one. Yeah, that generally it's looking a bit scary for India's fast bowling lineup. But I mean, one thing that's good is that now, for the first time ever, BCCI has announced that there is a list of contracted players who have a fast bowling contract. It's not your ABC contract only. There's a fast bowling contract. In which there are 5 pacers, which includes Akashdeep, but it also includes Umran Malik, who I don't know if he's in it for the test or for the other formats. And then there's Kavirappa and Vijay Kumar, both from Karnataka, and Yash Dayal. So these are some you know, young, good names, or at least not young in the cases of some of them, but promising names, who are in line for India. So I think that's good. And that's our future bowling strength, fast bowling strength.
Because I feel when, again, it seems like India will qualify for the WTC finals. Again, it will happen in UK.
Correct.
And yes, we need, and if we need to win that particular tournament, we need to have three good pace bowlers, one spin all rounder and one pace all rounder. Then only we can have a chance again to win this tournament. Else again we will fail to find a decent 11 who should play. I think India need to work on that. And even the next 5 test match series against Australia need to have the same kind of 11 what they are going to play. It's like preparation for the WTC final. When next they are going to Australia, it's like the same.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this Australia series would be a bit concerning because let's assume Shami is back, then you've got three really good fast bowlers, but who's the fourth? You're right. I mean, Shardul will probably be in the squad it. Yeah. But last time, you know, you had Ishant Sharma, you had Siraj making his early inroads into his career, you had Umesh Yadav in the mix, so you had a few more. Besides Shami and Bumrah as well. So,
yeah,
let's see. You know, I'd ask a question. We didn't touch upon the answer to that, which is what were the failures or unexpected challenges that India faced in this series?
Challenges what India faced. I think a lot of Indian batters, they played really, but I saw that they were throwing their wickets away. Every time though India made 450 runs or 400 runs, every time I thought they have left 100 around runs. They could have made them pretty easily, but I think they missed out. Though it didn't cost us any of the match yet, but it may have, it will not be the same case when Australia will visit India or India is visiting Australia. They won't give these many chances.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I agree. You know, we had in the beginning of the series some really poor shot selection.
Even in the first test match, and the good part is Rahul Dravid said it. When they failed to chase down 228, he said it's not because we didn't lose the test match because we didn't chase the 228 in the fourth inning. It's because we left around 60-80 runs in the first innings. If you remember, even in India had like 190 run lead in the first test match, India made something 400 plus, but every batter threw their wicket in the first test match. Yeah,
I agree. Okay.
For you, what do you think?
No, I agree with that. I think that's a good one. I was going to say that in the beginning there were a lot of talks about Shubman Gill's position, and he showed that he repaid the faith that was shown in him in the last couple of matches. So that, good on him. But the reason there were so many doubts cast upon Shubman Gill was because he was throwing his wicket away, as you say. He was not really playing with the sense of temperament that you would expect of a person of his caliber to play with. So I agree with that. I think it's a good shout. I wanted to talk about Shreyas Iyer. Generally, as a, you know, is where he is right now in his career. He was dropped, very, very frankly dropped from the team in the middle of a series, which I found very surprising because he is one of the better players of spin in India. And he did not have a pathetic many matches. He didn't have a great many matches, but he was there and thereabouts, there or thereabouts. So to be dropped and to be replaced by Rajat Patidar and Sarfaraz Khan was very surprising to me, especially when India were already lacking in the middle order department in terms of experience with the two stalwarts, Kohli and KL Rahul being missing, and of course with the departure recently of Rahane and Pujara. He then had this thing about not playing in the Ranji match, even though he had played the first round of Ranji this season. He didn't play that quarterfinal for Mumbai. He said it's because of a bad back, but apparently NCA had cleared him, And because of that, he was, in my opinion, very unfortunately clubbed alongside Ishan Kishan. And Ishan Kishan, of course, very clearly, he kind of went his own way. He but Shreyas Iyer got stuck into that quagmire of being in Ishan Kishan's shadow in a way. He then played the semi-final, didn't do too well. And then he played the final, didn't do too well in the first innings, got out to rising delivery outside the off stump. But today in the second innings, he was absolutely beautiful. I was watching it live. He was so graceful in the way he was playing, so dominating in the way he was playing. He made 95
runs.
What's that?
I think he made run a ball 95.
Yeah, almost a run a ball 95. But he was, I mean, on the other end was Mushir Khan, who was on a much higher score than him, had played a lot more balls than him, but wasn't as free as he was. And neither was Rahane before that, who also made a very good 50. But Shreyas Iyer just showed really the pure class that he does have. So I'm hoping that Shreyas Iyer does come back into contention for India home games, because I think we need a player like him in the middle order. But then, of course, now with Padikkal and Sarfaraz Khan as well in the mix, it becomes hard for him. So, yeah, I'm a bit disappointed because I'm not a giant fan of his, but I do like his play quite a bit, and I think he's a good fit in this.
Do you think he will be named in the next squad?
Which squad?
Whenever India declares next squad for test matches.
I think he'll probably be in the 17 for Australia. Who knows?
I doubt. I think Padikkal, Sarfaraz, if KL Rahul and Rohit and Kohli, all these players are there, it will be difficult for him to make the test.
Yeah, you know how the Indian selectors, at least the previous committee before the Chetan Sharma committee before Agarkar, used to pick a lot based on T20 form. So I don't know if the Agarkar committee will also do that. But it seems like they won't, because they've been the ones who are taking these bolder decisions and backing the youngsters. So I don't know how Shreyas Iyer's IPL and T20 World Cup will affect his test status. But the point I'm making is also that he's been left out of the entire list of contracted players for India, which is shocking. I know they wanted to make a point, but this is a guy who scored 500 runs for India in the World Cup a few months ago. He scored a century in a semi-final over a runner ball. He is one of our top players. He's filling that number four spot that has been a problem for India for many, many years, almost 10 years. So I'm sure he's going to come back into the team. Rahul Dravid also said that you don't necessarily need to have a contract to be able to play. So they're just making an example of him. But I feel like him having to prove himself again is... I hope it does not backfire and it's not India shooting themselves in the foot.
Let's see how it pans out.
Okay. Do you have any comment about the Ranji Trophy or anything about anything else about this series, the England series?
No, nothing. I think we should decide now the next topic for our podcast. Ideally, which should be IPL. We should do one before IPL.
Yes.
Okay, what the probable 11 of all the teams and who is going to win it?
Yeah, let's do that. Sumit, it has been a pleasure, as always, talking to you. Let us meet again before the IPL and let's try and get some guests on and get some different perspectives. Thank you very much, Sumit.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye, Arjun. See you again.